at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Amen. And let's give them a hand. I belong to God. Thank you, Lord. You will turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read into your hearing verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Amen. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Let me hear everybody say lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Let me hear everybody say manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you would speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word that will remind us that our hope is in you. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, a living hope, a living hope. And Raymond, I'm going to need your help. Amen. In just a minute, I hate to ask you to go back, and Brother Cutright, just stay right there. I'm gonna need y'all to help me just real quick. Amen. 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 Thank you, ushers. A living hope. Let me hear everybody say a living hope. A common criticism made by non-Christians about us is that Christians are really no different than non-Christians. And I would suggest to you this morning that in a lot of ways that is true. Non-Christians are not perfect. And guess what? Neither are Christians. Non-Christians have bad habits, but so do a lot of Christians. Non-Christians have problems and troubles, but so does every Christian. Non-Christians battle with temptation every single day, but guess what? So does every Christian. Non-Christians get sick, they get diseases, but so do Christians. Non-Christians experience tragedies and sorrows in life, but so do Christians. Non-Christians die, but so do Christians. But in spite of all of these similarities, there is one major difference, one eternal difference between non-Christians and Christians, and that difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. That difference is the hope that we have because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. I was thinking as I was putting this message together that there is something that has changed in church that used to be very prevalent years ago. And that is we don't sing about the hope of heaven like we used to. Amen. If you listen to a lot of the contemporary and modern day praise songs, amen, very few of them have anything to do with heaven. And Brother Stewart, it has just really been on my heart that as the modern day church goes along, not only do we not talk about hell, but we don't even talk about heaven much anymore. But I have come by this Sunday morning to remind you, my brothers and sisters, that we have a hope beyond what we see here, beyond what we experience here. We have this hope that the text says is in heaven with God. Amen. And so we don't sing songs about heaven like we used to. Songs like, you ready, Brother Cutright? Songs like, heaven is my goal, heaven each and every day. Gotta keep on moving.
Gotta keep on moving.
Moving in the right way. All right, moving. That's good, that's good. See, we used to sing about heaven. We used to sing songs like, it's a highway to heaven. Y'all remember that?
None can walk up there
but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. All right, all right. Songs like, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We used to talk about heaven. We used to sing about heaven. And I believe in a real sense that our foreparents, you know, they went through a lot of stuff. If you think about what we go through compared to what our parents and our grandparents had to go through, I think we would all admit that we ain't seen now. We don't really know what trouble is. We don't really know what pain and prayer. And that's why I believe they would remind themselves constantly over and over again that there's a place better than this. Do y'all, can you imagine, amen, out in the cotton fields with the sun beating down on their heads? And they couldn't argue, but they couldn't strike. You know, they got a strike going on now with the auto workers. But our grandparents and parents, they couldn't go on strike. They would be hung in a tree if they went on strike. And so they had to remind themselves over and over again that there's a better place than this. And I realized when I went to the funeral of young Vidal Carbon on yesterday in Tennessee, and there were so many young people in there, so many young men in there, amen, who were crying and who were sobbing and who were sad. And if I could go to each one of them and tell them one thing, I would tell them that if you get to know Jesus, you won't cry so hard because you realize you got a hope beyond this place. Is there anybody that can testify right now that I thank God for my life? But I'm also thankful to know that when I die, and guess what? You may be cute. You may smell good right now. Amen. But we all got to leave this place, and our hope is in heaven. Give God some praise today. This text is tailored to teach us that when we go through troubles, and I was on the plane, and I'm so glad that they got Wi-Fi on the planes now. I was able to stay connected with Facebook, and I thought I was going to be able to watch primetime beat up on Colorado State, but amen, I had landed by the time that game came on, and I was asleep by the time it finished. Amen. But I did see on Facebook a lot of conversations from people in Leesville talking about some people that had died. A coach had died, and somebody else had died, and a lot of our young people were affected by this in I guess a negative way. And so the Lord laid it on my heart to come here this morning and to remind his people that we have a hope, and to let the others who don't know Christ, those who have not accepted Christ, to let you know, my brother, my sister, that you don't have to live life in depression. You don't have to wake up every day sad. You don't have to let your problems distress you and cause you to want to give up on life, because we have hope in Jesus Christ. I wish I could get those of you who know that you know him. You know beyond any shadow of a doubt that he brought you out, that he picked you up, that he turned you around, that he placed your feet on solid ground. Let somebody know that this hope that we have is in Christ. And so that's the first thing you need to know if you're going through trouble. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. If you're going through trouble, the first thing you need to know, and it's in verse 3, you need to remember that you have a living hope. Look at verse 3 again. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, one thing I know is that we all got some kind of hope. I said we all got some kind of hope. Let me tell you, and there are basically three types of hope. There are those of you who have no hope. Amen. No hope. Amen. And a whole lot of folk are waking up each day without any hope. And if that's you today, I hope before you leave this place, you will find your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some have no hope, but then some have a false hope. Some folk think that if I just get enough money, I'll be all right. Some think that if I just get the right connections, if I have enough friends in high places, that I will be all right. Well, I've come by to tell you that's a false hope. Because one thing I figured out in my life is that the devil can throw some stuff your way that money can't get you out of. Come on, where are my witnesses at? There are some things that will happen in this life that your high connections, your friends in high places can't deliver you out of. And so, since if you have no hope or if you have a false hope, I've come by to tell you, you need to get acquainted with the living hope, and his name is Jesus. Do you know him this morning? Thank God we have a living hope. And I need to tell you that when we talk about hope, as believers, you know, it was Cedric the Entertainer, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for using this illustration, but amen, I'm tired. I've been on like 10 different planes in the past week or so. But Cedric the Entertainer said that when black folk go to an event, amen, I probably shouldn't tell this, you know. Y'all just mess it, that's all. He said that some people go to an event with a hope mentality. I hope nobody is sitting in my seat. Amen. I hope nobody is sitting in my sign. But he said black folk go in with a wish mentality. I wish somebody would be sitting. But I just need to tell you that when we talk about this living hope that we have in Jesus, I'm not talking about crossing your fingers. I'm not talking about I sure hope Jesus comes back. I'm not talking about I sure hope there's a heaven, or I sure hope I'm forgiven, or I sure hope I'm saved. No, this hope that I'm talking about this morning is a living hope. It is an active hope. It is an unchanging, undying, powerful hope that is anchored in our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's guaranteed by the word of God. And if you don't have faith in anything else, you ought to have faith that if God said it, I can believe it. I can, amen, count on it, that if he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Where are my folk who are thankful that you have hope in Christ? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives. Look at Romans chapter 15 real quick. Romans 15. And I see some of you on your phone. I hope you're not on Facebook. I hope you in the Bible. Amen. Because folk have died in church by having the wrong attitude. Fell out of window. Amen. It's in the Bible. Yeah, don't play with God. We're here for church. Romans 15 and 4, it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That Bible that you have, whether it's on your phone or you got one like this, amen, it was given to you so that every time you get discouraged, every time you feel uncertain, every time you have doubt, and do you know, I found out sometimes we doubt ourselves. Am I the only one? Sometimes we doubt ourselves. Sometimes we doubt God. We doubt whether he's going to get us out. And we say stuff like, Lord, if you just get me out of this one. Amen. But when you get in the word assures us. The word gives us the hope that we need to know that he loves us. How much does he love you? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to the cross. He didn't wait for you to get perfect. He didn't wait for you to get it all together, to get it right. He wanted you to know that he loved you in spite of your sin, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your iniquity. He sent his son to make a way for us. Come on and praise God for hope today. There's a writer by the name of F.B. Meyer, and he calls this living hope the link between our present and our future. In other words, it's a hope that strengthens us and sustains us right now. I need that kind of hope, Sister Gunn. I need that kind of hope, Sister Haynes, that will keep me in the right now. But Sister Middleton, I also need the kind of hope that's going to assure me that I ain't got to worry about tomorrow. Is there anybody here who can thank God for that kind of hope that lets you know that no matter what you're facing right now, God is going to keep you, God is going to sustain you? But it is that same hope that lets you know that on tomorrow, he will make a way out of no way. He will open doors that you are unable to open. And Sister Early, I got to use you as an example since you stood up. In the past year or so, Sister Early has been through car wrecks and all kind of different things, amen, a brain thing where she didn't even know who she was or where she was, amen, totaled her car out, amen, but she's standing here in the sanctuary this morning because of the hope that we have in Jesus. She's standing as a witness that if God could do it for her, come on, I know she ain't the only witness up in here. I know she's not the only one that God has blessed and God has healed and God has brought out and God has brought through. Let everything that hath breath give him praise. Tell him thank you. Worship him for what he has done. Dr. Charles Spurgeon, who is known as one of the great preachers of antiquity, he described this hope. He said of this hope that we have, he said, this hope cheers us on. cheers us on. Amen. And he said that when it seems like your whole world is crumbling around you, your living hope in a living Savior is there cheering you, saying, don't give up. When you turn on your TV or pick up your newspaper and see nothing but tragedy and war and crime and immorality and disaster and chaos, your living hope in a living Savior cheers you on by saying, don't be afraid. Don't get anxious. Don't despair. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, the fact that you and I are Christians, the fact that we have a living hope in a living Savior ought to completely change the way we look at the world. It ought to change the way we look at life. You see, a whole lot of folk are popping pills. I was listening to, I don't remember who it was, but it was on the radio yesterday when I was driving from Alexandria home, and this guy was talking about, he's an entertainer, and he said that the only way he could make it day by day is he had to have his Xanax. Amen. And guess what? That brother ain't alone. There are a whole lot of folk who are having to pop pills just to make it through the day. There are a whole lot of folk who are having to drink six packs and pay all kind of money to go to the psychiatrist. And let me tell you, ain't nothing wrong with going to a psychiatrist. If you need one, go. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you about another psychiatrist. I want to tell you about another doctor. Do you know him this morning? I'm talking about the kind of psychiatrist that's able to speak peace into your heart and peace into your mind. The Bible says he can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I wonder if anybody is acquainted with him this morning. So when the going gets tough, remember your living hope. But then secondly, when the going gets tough, Peter reminds us, he reminds us that not only do we have a living hope, but we also have a lasting inheritance. That's in verses 3 and 4. Look at it. Look at it. It says, praise be to God, the Father, and Lord of our Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and here it is in verse 4, and into an inheritance, y'all read that with me, that can, y'all there? Verse 4, and into an inheritance that can never, okay, all right, let me read it from my version. It says, it can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. There's a kind of funny story of this sixth grade math teacher, and she gave the children in her class an assignment. She said that this man died, and he left $10 million. He gave one-fifth to his daughter. He gave one-fifth to his son. He gave one-sixth to his brother, and the rest to his wife. And the teacher asked, now, what does each one of them get? And one little bad rascal in the back said, you better get a lawyer. Amen. 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 But one thing I like about Jesus is that when it comes time for us to get our inheritance, as a pastor, I have seen so many families fall out, and a lot of times it's over little or nothing. Who going to get the rake, and who going to get the garden hose, and who going to get the lawnmower? Amen. But they fall out over an inheritance. But what I love about God, my Father, is that the inheritance that he has for us in heaven is guaranteed. And we know it's guaranteed because it says in the text that it's kept by him. It's waiting on us to get there. Oh my, it's kept by God. You know, ADT is all right, but ain't no security system like God. Do I have any witnesses here today? And a lot of folk are putting
their hope in an inheritance that will be left to them by their parents or by some rich relative. But no matter how big the inheritance, no matter how valuable the inheritance, no matter how sentimental the inheritance may be to you, it is an inheritance that will not last. I said it ain't gonna last. Either you're gonna outlive it or it will outlive you. But it's not for always. But is there anybody who can thank God that the inheritance that we have with God in heaven is eternal? Tell your neighbor, it's forever. It's forever. Amen. What God has for me in heaven, it's forever. No devil in hell can take it away. No greedy person can steal it. No lawyer can cheat me out of it. It is kept by God, and it is forever. I've come by to tell somebody today, you may be, your trouble may be some financial problem that you're going through. You don't know how you're going to pay that bill. You got more bill than you've got money. But I've come by to tell you today that we serve a God. And what I love about him is that not only does he have an inheritance waiting on us in heaven, but he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he will feed you right now. Where are my folk? Amen. Who can bear witness to the fact that there were times in your life when your money was funny and your change was strange. Oh, but you ought to stand up and say, but look at me now. Amen. Folk talked about me. Folk laughed at me because they knew I was struggling. Amen. But baby, look at me now. I'm better than blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed because I serve a God who is able. Give him praise today. And then last but not least, not only do we have a living hope in a living Savior, not only do we have a lasting inheritance that is being kept by God in heaven, but there's one more thing Peter reminds us of, and that is when the going gets tough, he says, remember, you have a long awaited reward. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Say, that's me. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Say, that's me. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. If you've got joy right now, come on, let some of it out. Come on, let some of it out. Amen. And then verse 9 says, for you are receiving the goal of your faith. Here it is, the long-awaited reward, the salvation of your souls. Y'all, I am so glad that it wasn't left up to justice. Because if it had been left up to justice, can I be real? Can I be honest? I would be on my way to a devil's hell. But there is a reward that God has stored up for me. And you know what? It's a reward that I couldn't get it by myself, but Stuart. I ain't holy enough. I ain't righteous enough, amen, to get that reward in and of myself. But one day, Jesus took an old rugged cross on his back. The Bible says they marched him up Golgotha's hill, and they led him up to Calvary. The Bible says they drove nails in his hands. They drove nails in his feet. The Bible says they pierced him in his side. And the Bible says that he died. Is there anybody here who knows that he died? Matthew said he died. Mark said he died. Luke said he died. John said he died. Reverend Monroe Harrison said that he died. And I don't know how you feel about it today, but I'm so glad that he died.